Robert Evans here, and I wanted to ask for your help. There is a Portland area woman, Ruba Tamimi. She's an Arabic interpreter and a Palestinian liberation activist, and she is trying to save her home at the moment. She's got a GoFundMe. If you go to Save Ruba's House, R-U-B-A, on GoFundMe, you'll find it. Save Ruba's House on GoFundMe. If you've got a few bucks, she could really use it. Again, Save Ruba's House, R-U-B-A, at GoFundMe. Thanks.
What's half-assing it, my Behind the Bastards podcast. I'm Robert Evans, and again, because of a family tragedy, I have a little bit less time than normal. So we did our one-parter this week, which I hope you enjoyed, quite detailed. And our second part, which is on the same subject, is just going to be me yucking it up about a book with my good friend, Sophia Alexandria. Hello, Sophia.
I mean, I would love it if you pronounce
me. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I don't know why I keep saying Alexandria. I was thinking
about it right the first time.
I know.
Zoom
I'm a piece
has
of shit.
Her name on it.
I never look at the Zoom.
Sophie,
you're not looking at my face, are you? If so, I'm angry.
What he's doing is he's like that mean boy that like pulls your pigtails, but it's to like,
gaslighting you.
He likes you. He's like, oh, I'll mispronounce her name so she doesn't know how much I enjoy podcasting with her.
To really let you know that I like you, I sent you and Sophie an image that's in the chat to the Zoom. That's the cover of the book we're about to read. And I want y'all to just
download it.
Pop that bastard open.
I don't like it at all.
Oh, boy.
How would you describe that book cover?
Demonic. Like, yeah. I've done something wrong and I'm being punished.
Yeah, you have and you are. Absolutely.
There's a barcode
the
on
of
the
a very
forehead.
Angry incel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. The top is like a bunch of money. Right, it's
and
like
there's
a stack of bills
sign in the
with
title,
the name of the
which is trash.
Yeah,
and I love
there
it.
Is.
Nesara is a
money
sign.
Nesara and the Mark of the Beast is the title. The top is a bunch of money behind the name of the author, Dr. Scott Young. And then the face on the bottom is like a very intense, like you said, an incel looking dude with a barcode on his forehead.
And it's just eyes and eyebrows. And I swear to God, they are so angry.
They're so angry, but like, and like, they clearly put extra makeup to make him look tired, but also didn't put makeup anywhere else. It's very.
It's also clearly a stock image, right?
Yes.
Like
100%.
They licensed this from Getty or something.
What do you think the name of the stock image was?
Staring Man?
White Angry.
Man, comma, Intense Scare, something like that. Angry Man? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think it was something it, like no orgasm .jpg.
Never come no fap.
Yeah, no fap .jpg 100%. Or you know what? Or how about like how about would hit you .png?
Yeah. Would hit you because you accidentally unplugged his Xbox while he was playing a game.
And also it's your fault.
And also it's your fault. Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit about the author of this, Dr. Scott Young. Now, normally when somebody's a doctor and they write a book like this, they're not a doctor. But Dr. Scott Young is a doctor. He's an audiologist. He's an audiologist who owns Hearing Solution Centers, Inc. in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So he does like ear shit. He's an ear doctor. Now, I found his Facebook page, which has a little less than 1,300 likes and 1,300 followers, and he describes himself as both an audiologist, a teacher, a guest speaker, an expert in end-time events, like the end times, you know, the apocalypse, as well as an expert in World War II history. He writes fiction and nonfiction, and this is specifically angled as a nonfiction book. He's got videos on his YouTube page or on his Facebook about like Nesara and Bitcoin. So you can kind of tell how, you know, where this guy is, what sort of angle of the conspiracy world this guy's sliding into. He also, weirdly enough, in the middle of like he'll have like weird, religious, like one, the top post right now is him sharing a video from We the Kingdom official live videos that appears to be a Christian song. And he quotes some of the lyrics, which are, "Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Satan will not take our nation. Biden is done and Jesus will bring in a harvest that hasn't been seen in more than 100 years. And like, two
I'm sorry,
posts,
all the best Jesus songs have Biden in them. Okay. Can we all agree?
We all know that.
Some of my favorite hymns and spirituals are just like Biden related.
I like that one cover of the Bloodhound Gang's "I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal," where they just replace the word animal with Biden. That "I Want to Exist." So
why did the Bloodhound Gang cover Nine Inch Nails?
Oh, was that a, god damn it, I'm so shitty. What was the fucking, what was the Bloodhound Gang song about fucking? They have a song about fuck.
Who doesn't have a song about fucking?
Yeah, but like a really dirty. Oh yeah, "Sweat Baby Sweat" is the opening lines. What the fuck is that song? Oh yeah, "You and Me Baby Ain't Nothing But Mammals," so let's do it with so it, like they do on the Discovery
Channel.
Yeah,
yes.
"You and Me Biden Ain't Nothing But Mammals," so let's see that. That would be that. That was the joke I was trying to make, but I didn't organize my thoughts ahead
that
of time.
That was a really good
fucked
attempt,
up.
Robert. Good job.
No, it wasn't, Sophie.
A for effort. I'm so proud of
hey,
you.
I
You're
think,
doing great,
I
sweetie.
I am
I
not.
I corrected you very gently by just this asking if you meant something else.
Well, we got to the right
song. And then
the
I
right
mocked
song,
you,
okay?
As I should.
And then you mocked me, and now all of Twitter's going to mock me.
It's great. A family affair.
I love this.
It's
a
family
adorable.
Affair.
You don't know anything about pop culture generally, so it's just really sweet.
No, but I spent like 30 hours reading about Nessera.
Don't worry, I'm foreign, so I'm missing on a lot of it too.
So one of the things that I think is funny about Dr. Scott Young is that, like, after two, like, the top two posts on his Facebook are like wild conspiracy stuff, Biden and Satan are stealing the nation, Nessera and Bitcoin are going to save it, the third post is him like a note that he's about to be the keynote speaker of the Young Businessmen of Tulsa. Which I think is quite funny. So that's who this guy is. He's written a fictional novel called The Violin Secret, which is apparently about the survival of a young teenager through the Holocaust. And I don't want to read that because I'm sure it's terrible in ways that I can't quite anticipate right now.
You really should have let me do the reading because I would totally read that.
Take a look at The Violin Secret.
What about, it's like, I can imagine the pitch. He's like, what if, okay, it's Anne Frank's diary, but it's me, a man who did not live through the Holocaust.
And I don't think is Jewish, but maybe is. I think
that's
might
the
be a
part of the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fascinating. So one of the other things that his biography in the back of the book we're about to read through says is that he wrote a book called Professor in History, which is his second fictional book, which is about, quote, a man who is an atheist but has the fantastic opportunity to ask Jesus unique questions on various topics.
That is a fantastic opportunity.
That is a great opportunity. I would just ask him his opinions of the Bloodhound Gang. Because I bet Jesus is a big fan. Who isn't, right? Who doesn't love the Bloodhound Gang?
I mean, so, clearly you are the biggest fan.
I except for when I mix up the songs.
That's what I mean.
I don't know. Never going to live that one down. So the dedication to Nessera and the Mark on the Beast is where I think we ought to start. Quote, oh God, I believe that the bride needs this message the most. They need to know who they are in Christ. He comes for you, but there is work in the spirit to be done. Your job is to find that work and begin doing it. Luke 12:35. Many of you are concerned with the nature of the 2020 elections and the implications therein. The fascination legislation dubbed Nessera will bring about mighty changes in life, but too many Christians are worried about the practical plan that the Bible will come true with, Nessera and the Mark of the Beast. I therefore wish to clear up those misunderstandings for you and pray you find peace. So that's the introduction. I don't know what he means by the bride needs this message most.
I just feel like, you know, bitches need learning, you know?
Bitches need learning. That might very well be what he's saying, that like the women who are getting married right now need to know this the most. So they,
of course.
I don't know. I'm sure there's something heartbreaking that involves physical violence behind that, but It's not immediately clear to me. So chapter one is titled The 2020 Question. And Scott Young opens with a passage that I think we can all identify with. If you have made it into 2020, you have felt much like the world is circling the drain. You might even wonder if it's all just a bad dream. You may have lost faith in the words of some of the people around you on social media, the blather in mainstream media, or the conjuring of those in government. After the global response to the pandemic of 2020 for the COVID-19 virus, we moved right into racial inequity protests and then the destructive chaos of criminal rioting. So that's you get, I guess, a lot of insight into what media bubble this guy's in. Yeah, there's a little bit of Antifa fear mongering there. But your response should be inside of the word trust. To whom do you turn when things get out of hand? If your trust is inside of the government system, it is shaken. If it is inside of your ability to create wealth in your business or investments, then the shutdown of the economies by forces outside of your control pushed you to the brink. If your trust is inside of your family and friend support system, then being shut inside your house with little sports and no new fictional programming on TV incurs levels of unknown depression. When you add news that screams to take away your freedom in exchange for your safety, it might concoct a potion of intense isolation that you are unprepared to handle. All of it feels like a poison. So he's kind of accurately diagnosed the thing that is going to make people most vulnerable to the conspiratorial thinking that I think he's about to lay down, which is interesting. Usually don't see it laid out like that.
You love yeah. to see it.
Yeah, he knows.
Tell
what he's
me
doing.
How you're about to fuck me over, please.
Well, he then goes into how retirement homes and assisted living have been hit incredibly hard by both the fact that the COVID-19 is killing old people and the fact that they're isolated from their families. Their lack of communication increases the effects of dementia in their cognitive abilities. He mentions that he works with old people, so he's witnessed this some. Interesting. Okay, all of the above must bring the believer in Christ to the inescapable position of reducing your fear by increasing your trust in the one who made you. The soul, your mind, will, and emotions are asking great questions in this outrageous time frame of our lives and is not receiving an answer that makes any sense. There is rampant speculation that Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, and Anthony Fauci are pushing the world to produce a vaccine for COVID-19 to inoculate the populations of the world against this horrible disease. Since this disease was discovered in Wuhan, China, somewhere in January of 2020, there are questions as to his origin. Did the Chinese deep state unleash the toxin as an act of terrorism upon the globe to induce this panic and shutting down and creating their own level of control over the sheep that they call the people? The CDC is lying to the population. Once told that hundreds of thousands were dying, maybe closer to 9,000 were dying directly of this illness. That did not age well. That's interesting. So we start from this position of he clearly has enough of a foot inside of the real world that he starts with like the vague, the broadly reasonable stuff. Hey, you're isolated. Everyone's alone. This has been hard for different people for different reasons. Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation of Fauci are trying to make a vaccine to inoculate the population, which he doesn't initially stage. He doesn't initially frame as part of a conspiracy, right? He says that they're trying to do it to inoculate the populations against a horrible disease. But then immediately after that, he moves into uncritically repeating the conspiracy theory that COVID-19 might have been a deep state plot by China in order to exert control on the sheep they call the people. And then by this point, like after that paragraph, we're straight into conspiracy stuff, right? The CDC is lying to the population. No one's really dying of COVID-19. And of course, inside of the vaccines that are presented by the World Health Organization and the CDC, some believe that a cure might come in 2021. The faith in the relief smacks of confidence in the origin of the man-made virus or its properties to not replicate itself into variant forms that are outside of their own. Okay, so contact tracing. What is he? Okay. All right. So he gets into how they're. Oh, God. Okay. The proposals by the WHO and CDC is to create a contact tracing with global positioning systems inside of the Apple iPhone software release. And then the vaccine is going to put a microchip. So he start. Okay. Are you familiar at all with the microchip vaccine conspiracy theory?
Yes.
That when you're getting the vaccine, you're actually getting a microchip that's going to control you.
Yeah, and I think it's going to interface with the iPhone.
About it. Yeah, there's Bill Gates.
Bill Gates is doing it, but he's working with Apple, which if you know Bill Gates, that doesn't seem super likely.
He's not working with Apple.
That's really funny, though.
There's all sorts of
like, in this fake scenario, everybody's friends.
There's also conspiracy theories about people putting microchips in medical face masks as well. Have you seen that
one? I've definitely heard that.
And
it seems that he's going in through the, like, they're going to put a microchip to make you easier to track, and they're going to say that it's so that they can track who's been vaccinated. But then he launches into estimates that as many as 700,000 people will die of the vaccinations. Which, again, dude, that's like how we're closing in on that number of people who have died of the virus. But yeah, I guess we're thoroughly in bizarro world from right now. All of that leads to the Christian who reads the Bible indicating the following question. Could I be getting the mark of the beast inside this COVID-19 vaccination coming in 2021? The answer is maybe. like a scientist hedging his bets here. Maybe. Maybe.
Robert, you know what else it's maybe time for?
You know what isn't maybe going to give you the mark of the beast?
These good dumb services.
Definitely the mark of the beast. We ask every one of our advertisers, are you going to microchip our listeners with a mark of the beast that renders them vulnerable to the devil's plans for world domination? And
most
they always
say,
say
no. Most of them say no.
Most of them say we are withdrawing our sponsorship from you. We
some
did not
of them
realize
wink
who
when
you
they
were.
Say no.
Yeah, some of them do wink. I assume it's always through email, but I've gotten pretty good at reading winks in an email.
Well, it's an emoji, so that's how we know.
Mm-hmm. The emoji is the real mark of the beast, by the way. Products. Ah. We're back, and we're skimming ahead here. So he, not a great writer, but not a funnily bad writer either. Chapter two, we get into definitions of words, doctrine versus theology. So this is definitely coming at the Nesera thing from more of the Christian angle than the New Age angle, which we talked about a little bit earlier. This is an argument against atheists here. Wow, this guy's kind of losing his thread a little bit. Chapter three, tell me more about this beast. The number one question is not who the beast is, but who it isn't. Isn't Biden, Obama, Reagan, Trump the beast? But we don't even know what we are asking. I am a classically trained bad Googler. I am somewhat get to what I need, but I almost always need help from my wife or son. So just admitting, I'm very bad at research.
Oh, no. You need help from your wife to Google?
Yeah. This guy who is proposing to send us a book that will make it clear whether or not, because he still hasn't completely embraced that there's a devil plan to kill
you. Though, why isn't the wife writing this book? She did all your research.
She seems like a classically good Googler. I type into the search bar what I believe is what I am saying, but I rarely receive the answer I am asking. why?
Maybe you're asking bad shit. Stuff that
that's kind of what he says next, Sophia. Why? Because my brain operates differently than most people.
Why? I'm not a classically good thinker.
I'm not a real thinker of a brain haver. He does say that he has dyslexia, which made it hard to get through high school and to forget about college. But wait, he's a doctor, right? How did you not go to college? Something might be shady here.
Sometimes you skip a grade, okay? You wouldn't know about
just
that.
Skip college
you're not
to
a genius.
Doctor? Yeah, well, his phrasing is, I have dyslexia and I was informed that it would be hard to make it through high school and to forget about college. Oh, okay. But he managed to make it happen. Okay. See, this is, again, one of the things that makes me sad about conspiratorial beliefs. Because there's clearly a story here of a man with a disability who, like, overcame it enough to become a fucking doctor, an ear doctor, which is a real kind of medicine, you know? And then still got trapped in all of this nonsense and wrote this terrible book, which is... It speaks to how a society that wants to be as ethical as possible and mitigate all of the horrors that we're currently dealing with should seek at all points to strictly limit the amount of things that individuals have a say on outside of their own immediate lives. This guy, I'm sure, could give me great advice on taking care of my ears, and I'm sure knows his own personal business just fine. He should have no say in, like, national politics. None of us should. It shouldn't exist because it's a bad idea, and it leads to the shit that we're seeing. Because these people, it's very frustrating, right? Like, you get people who, like, this guy's clearly competent in one area of his life, but also when it comes to the national stage, believes that, like, Biden is part of some satanic conspiracy working with Bill Gates to implant microchips in you. And that doesn't speak well of the kind of democracy we have. Like, fundamentally,
also, no one's
there's a problem.
Wasting fucking free technology on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no,
well, it's
one's
not wasting. It's to track you. For
yeah,
the devil.
but that's a waste.
Yeah. My mind processes differently than most. I ask the questions that most don't want to ask or ask in the mainstream way, which is why Google and I are not friends. So let's apply my own brand of questioning to the above. Who is the beast? Firstly, you have to know what the Bible says about the beast, because the word is the genesis of the topic. Okay, so we go into Bible stuff. He talks about how a mark is like, comes from the Greek word that means etching, stamp, or tattoo. Most who choose a tattoo do so with great care. This is relevant to me today. Those choosing a tattoo pick out the concept with which they have an affinity while realizing that it will be on their body for the rest of their lives. Therefore, having the mark of the beast would be in the same vein as a tattoo. No one would do so without some forethought as to why and where they were pasting an image on their body, especially where Revelation 13:18 depicts upon the right hand or the forehead. One idea that might be pertinent to the topic comes from the sporting culture. Teams create logos and quips that are plastered on the chest of a t-shirt or the forehead of a ball cap. Yada, yada. So that's... Where do we get to... He just keeps talking about the NFL and the Mark of the Beast here. And how, I guess, sporting culture is going to be... Oh, because he's convinced that in order to enter, like, football and baseball games, you'll have to have the microchip in you that proves you've been vaccinated. Therefore, when they convince people to get the Mark of the Beast, they'll try to sell them that it's like getting a tattoo of your favorite sports team or something. That's an approach to it, I guess. Not one I'd run into. Okay, think of it this way. Let's say I'm an excellent offensive coordinator for a successful NFL franchise, molding several quarterbacks into Pro Bowlers and championship teams. Your team is rebuilding, suffering through a few horrible seasons, and wishes to speak with me about being your head coach. Your real desire, actually, is the revolutionary playbook for which I would employ to develop your team. But you also learn, after investigating me, that I am a cancer in the locker room. I alienate all around me with a constant perfection and just tick them off until they wish to... his hypothetical to imagine how the Mark of the Beast is going to get put into people is, imagine I'm the best football coach ever and I'm so good that everybody hates me.
Wow, dream That's big.
Getting an
I
interesting
mean, isn't
insight
that
into
Jesus?
This guy.
Yeah.
The perfect football coach?
Yep.
Yeah.
Who got murdered because he was too good.
That's what's going
big
on here, huh?
Here.
Oh, boy. Okay, this is interesting. So the next chapter is, or the next chunk is the Antichrist and the Christ. The Jews did not recognize Jesus when he entered the world on 9/11 of 3 BC.
I'm always very wary when a sentence starts with the Jews.
The Jews? Yeah.
What do you mean, Sophie? So frequently, now, the sentence ends with us getting free ice cream.
I'm interested in why 9/11 comes into this.
Yeah, what is happening? That might be one
also,
of the strangest sentences you've ever read.
Yeah. It's interesting it's also interesting that Jesus was born on 3 years before Christ.
Yeah.
There's a lot here.
Do they know what the BC stands for?
I don't know. But the next line is, if you want to know why, and this has, you know how on Kindle books you can see if something's been highlighted by a lot of people?
Uh-huh.
This whole bit has been highlighted repeatedly. If you want to know why this fascinating date is Jesus's actual birth, you must investigate BethlehemStar.net to find the beautiful answers by a great researcher. So I'm going to take us to BethlehemStar.net.
Please do, because I want to know about this beautiful researcher.
BethlehemStar.net.
I just also like that Bethlehem.com was taken.
Well, there is a Bethlehemstar.com. There is that's where I went to first.
Of course there is.
It's and a potential like security risk. It. I don't think I'm going to visit that site. Bethlehemstar.com is the last update was March 15th, 2019, announcing the release of a film called The Christquake. That's interesting.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was really good. It's like Sharknado, but
but an earthquake of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Christnado would be a pretty fun movie, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. Let's patent it. Let's get the merch going now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could make a lot of money before people realize that we're just giving it half of it to Nicolas Cage to be our Jesus.
Wait, half of it? I thought this was an all Nicolas Cage production. Is it?
Yeah, but I mean, we got to get rich too. Like, we give Nicolas Cage the money he needs to continue his dinosaur skull addiction, and then we bring a couple of million off each, and then we retire to some country that doesn't extradite to the United States.
Okay, well, I thought the original plan was to just move in with Nicolas Cage after a little bit. Is that not what's happening anymore?
I think after living with Nicolas Cage for a few months, you would decide that it was a mistake to live with Nicolas Cage.
No, because we were going to be making the next National Treasure together, all of us.
You just want to steal the Declaration of Independence. That has nothing to do with making a movie.
Robert, you know who won't steal the Declaration of Independence?
I don't know that that's the case, Sophie.
That's fair. I just really wanted that transition.
I mean, I might use their money in order to enable me to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, why is it just you now? Okay. Well, it was going to be me, you, and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know me.
I'm
a prima donna. I've stolen this plan, and now it's mine.
I knew you were going to go solo.
Can confirm that.
I thought I was the Beyonce. Why are you the Beyonce? How did I thought I was the Ringo.
Yeah, you're definitely Ringo, and you're definitely Beyonce.
All right. Well, we're back.
Don't be sad about it, Robert.
We're back, and we're going to read our friend the doctor talk more about the Jews. I'm so sorry.
Okay, again, a doctor talking about the Jews has historically not been good for us.
It doesn't tend to end well. So according to our doctor friend, the Jews forgot that Moses rejected his position of political power that he inherited by his adoption inside of the Egyptian pharaohs. Jesus was born of a virgin, a sin at the time when she was perceived to have had an unnatural... Okay, more
wait,
Jesus
wait,
stuff.
Wait. Moses didn't reject leadership. Instead of being the leader of Egypt... He became the leader of the fucking Jewish people.
Of all of the Jewish people who led them into the desert.
He was more ambitious than...
Like George W. Bush, he led them into the desert.
We like to laugh.
Weird cheap shot I made there. Okay. Jesus predicted in Matthew 24 that there would be a false Christ arising in the future. What? It wasn't just one false Christ that Jesus intimated at the time when he was answering the disciples' questions, but many of them. In The End by Mark Hitchcock, Dr. Hitchcock pontificated that Satan would have to keep an Antichrist in his back pocket for every era after Jesus' death to whip him out for a moment he tried to identify. What a tiring job for Satan as the liar to humanity, question mark. That's an odd sentence.
Yeah. I didn't think this would lead to him feeling sorry for Satan because he was working too hard.
Therefore, if Dr. Hitchcock was correct in his historical assertion about Satan's future boy, Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong, and Napoleon, to name a few, were groomed for the job that would never come about in their times. Then he goes into saying that Kaiser Wilhelm was the Antichrist of his era. I guess even President Woodrow Wilson was also considered an Antichrist in 1918. He instituted a 13-point plan to end the war with several conditions, including the formation of the League of Nations to resolve conflicts in the future. The League failed, as has its sister organization, the United Nations, which holds to a policy of turn their swords into plows. So, you know, something occurs to me here. This idea that like all of the bad people in history are Antichrists is kind of a fun way of denying that, like, it's bad to give people power. Like, the problem isn't that we build these systems that devolve an enormous amount of power to singular individuals who then use it terribly because power is inherently bad for you. The problem is that the devil always has an antichrist in his back pocket that he's got to throw out every era. And that's why that's where all the bad people come from.
It's also like these people were training for a job they would never get to do.
Yeah, you're never going to get to be the Jesus.
They're just like alternates on the bench. And they're like,
yeah, Napoleon was really just waiting to get to be Jesus. Yeah.
They're like, in case LeBron breaks his leg, mm-hmm. and then the guy who's actually going to, who's the alternate who's going to step in for LeBron breaks his leg, but then also like, you know, just got to keep making sure that if people break legs, there's enough of these antichrists on the bench.
Yeah, Mao Zedong just waiting in the wings for his chance to be to be the antichrist. Ah, damn it, he says on his deathbed. I really thought it was going to happen for me.
Also, how mad are you if you're Mussolini and you were training for this and then you get fucking hanged and torn apart?
I also, as a dictator, Stan, I love the order the list goes in. Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong, and Napoleon.
Also, Stalin, not a part of it.
Now, where's Stalin on this? Especially like, since you know this guy's scared of communists.
Yeah, Stalin must be so
He doesn't
upset.
Make your list. Napoleon does, so but Stalin upset. Doesn't.
Wow.
Oh, man. Oh, good times. So, I'm just going to try to find out where Nessera comes into this, because we are a third of the way into the book and all we've heard about is the mark of the beast. Oh, boy. So there appears to be. We're really getting into the whole. I don't know if you remember this, but in like the late 1990s, there was a huge panic over barcodes when those like became mass instituted, that barcodes were the mark of the beast and that all barcodes had a 666 like hidden in them in the coding, and that like this was how the New World Order was going to track people. This guy, I'm going to guess, I don't know enough about his background, but he's the right age to have been caught up in that. And the religious dogma that he's pushing is very much in line with that. And he notes here in one paragraph, in the early 1990s to early 2000s, we juxtapose our worry on the chips that were implanted in the credit cards we carry today. But did you know that in 2016, all businesses had to ditch their current credit card processing machines that didn't have chip readers? So he's like panicking over chip readers here. These microprocessors are in our future one way or the other. The gigabit limits are not a problem for the amounts of data we might wish to load on them. Smartphones of the era are already conditioning people to accept geotagging themselves so that their family and friends can find them, along with their music, financial data, and passwords, to name a few apps. The concept of inserting a biomedical chip into the right hand might be much of a logical leap to those who don't understand what the Bible states about it. Okay, yeah, this is pretty much what I'd expected. In terms of like weird microchip conspiracy theory stuff, where the fuck does Nessera come into here? Okay, chapter 5,
the title,
Federal Reserve.
That's where it comes in, the title.
Is this really just a Nessera grift for this guy to like throw his warmed up panic about the mark of the beast in like credit card chips?
How many pages is this book?
I'm gonna be very frustrated if so. It's 68 pages. We're more than a third of the way. We're 40% of the way through right now.
Can you search how many times Nessera is mentioned?
You know what, Sophie? I will do that for you.
Oh my god, thank you so much.
You know what else? 68 pages, that's like barely a pamphlet, honestly.
Also, he could have done 69. He really could have. He could have gotten there.
Nessera doesn't come in until chapter 6.
Are you kidding me? Dog, this is a grift. This is a grift.
Oh, it's a grift insider grift. It's the fucking inception of grifts.
It's a grift sign at the end. It's a grift money sign.
It's griftception.
Yeah, I mean, there's one mention of it at the very start where he says the fascination legislation dubbed Nessera will bring about mighty changes in life. But then we don't hear about it again until chapter 6. All right, Nessera background. Farmers in the 1970s were sick of the government taking their land and dictating what crops they could plant. So he claims that this started with a bunch of farmers angry at the government, who hired a collective attorney to look at constitutional evidence for the government forcing them to plant crops, which I think is him talking about the subsidies that we gave like people for growing corn and stuff in order to deal with the fact that, they were producing too much of it. That's interesting. So what is this? Basically, with the okay, so he starts talking about the 14th Amendment, which is that the validity of public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned, but neither shall the United States or any other state assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or claim for the loss of life or emancipation of any slave. But all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. So this guy interprets that as saying that you can't be held liable for a debt that comes from a group outside the Constitution, which I think is, yeah, I mean, this is like some sovereign citizen stuff, right? That the Federal Reserve is illegal because it's extra constitutional. So none of your debts are legal because they're all a part of like the Federal Reserve system.
OK, hold up. He has a point, yeah. Though. He has a point.
About what?
Student loans are illegal. Don't have to pay them back.
I mean, student loans, you shouldn't have to pay them back, but they're not illegal because the 14th Amendment says that you don't owe debts.
That's what I heard. I heard I don't got to pay them back now.
We're going to pill Sophia this episode. You weren't on board when he started talking about the Jews in a really concerning way, but now we're back on.
Hey, look, as long as the Jews are going to be blamed for money stuff, I'm going to be greedy about that money.
You might as well not have to pay for your student loans.
Exactly. You know, I mean, that Jewish move. So classic.
You do kind of hit on a point here, which is that if the federal government, by which I mean Biden, were to forgive all federal student loans, it would reduce a lot of fuel for these conspiracy theories.
That is a great pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, because they all today.
As we've seen with Nesser, as this guy's clearly talking about, right, he opens his pamphlet by talking about how difficult, like reasonably talking about how shitty 2020 is, how hard the lockdown and the economic collapse has been for everybody, how bad the election has been for everybody, which are all perfectly reasonable things to point out. And it's like the Omega conspiracy theory started in the late 90s. With a bunch of Midwesterners who were seeing themselves economically marginalized. And then it really took off and got merged to Nesera in the early 2000s and the crash after 9/11. Bad times and a lack of hope for the future fuel belief in conspiracies because people need to think that things are going to get better. And if the actual legitimate systems don't leave them with any hope of improvement in their lives, they're going to latch on to toxic nonsense that will eventually bring them closer and closer to people like Nazis and other outwardly like conspiracy theories that the only it will take them from conspiracy theories that promise them wealth and towards conspiracy theories that promise them the mass murder of their enemies. You know?
Yeah.
It's almost like economic insecurity is, you know, not good for
society.
Yep.
Not good for people and extremism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember in 2003, before the housing crisis of 2008, that a mortgage broker in Denver was attempting to get Wendy and me, I'm guessing that's his wife who knows how to Google, to choose a 3 to 5 year ARM for our loan. It would essentially reduce our payments from the typical loan of $3,000 a month to less than $1,200, allowing us only to pay interest, while the value of the house rose enough to refinance the loan with a new home with the increase. Okay, why are you telling me about this? Something was filtering through both of our spirits at the time to say, heck no, dude. That exact type of loan, when the 3 to 5 year term came due, was the reason for the housing crisis and the forfeiture of the houses by people who could never afford their current home. Okay. So that he's saying that God told him to avoid subprime mortgages.
Yeah, I mean, God said, heck no. You know, that's how God talks.
God says, well, he's not going to say hell no. He's God.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That's how I knew it was a direct quote.
Okay. So here we get to the QE stuff. There is a group that I refer to as the anti-Kabbalists who have tried to bring freedom to America for many years, even during that 2008 crisis. They have long tired of the evil cabal of the world's central banks and Federal Reserve pedophiles who have literally raped our children in their satanic gain along with the stealing of our money. There we go. Jeez, there's the stuff I was waiting for. 43% of the way into the book before we hit this shit, but now we're into the satanic pedophile stuff. Ah, that's good. So he starts talking about something called the World Settlement Fund, which is a conspiracy that there's like a bunch of gold that the U.S. found in the Philippines during World War II. That's like trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that is going to be released at some point to clear 140 countries of their debts to the cabal and the central banks. And the cabal's keeping this money locked up. The funds were being blocked from being enacted by the Corporation of Washington, D.C. That's right, folks. The District of Columbia has been a recognized corporation to oust themselves from the constitutional laws of our land, to delete the penalties of enacting the debt enslavement. The anti-cabalists have been fighting for years with a lien against the Fed from 2011 transfer of funds that the Fed stole from these countries. Okay. So, oh, actually, I'm sorry, I got the number wrong. The global collateral account has $93 quadrillion that's your money. That's going to come to you. This is sovereign citizen shit. Oh, good.
Well, as long as they give me my quadrillion, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you'll get less than a quadrillion. There's only 93 of those, but you'll get rich. Everyone will get rich.
Okay, I'm sorry. I signed up for a quadrillion.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm sorry. The globalists aren't going to let you get that.
I fucking knew it. The cabalists.
The cabalists. Okay. So he repeats the conspiracy that Nesara was going to release all of this money. But then 9/11 happened and that stopped it. The building came down in 7 seconds, defying the laws of physics. Many architects. Yeah, he's doing the jet fuel can't melt steel beam shit. That's
good. I mean, everyone's
good.
Suddenly a fucking scientist when it comes to conspiracy theories. People that have never fucking known what NACL stands for, they're just like, wait.
No, I agree. Jet fuel cannot melt steel beams, but you know who can? Bernard Montgomery Sanders. Have you heard the good news about Bernie Sanders and 9/11, Sophia?
I would love to hear the good news.
Well,
preach it to me, sister.
You've seen Transformers, right?
No. Why would I?
For decades, the main question that everyone has been wondering is how did Bernie Sanders get away from the grassy knoll after shooting John Fitzgerald Kennedy, right? Tons of Secret Service agents, tons of cops, you know, how did he get away?
That's always been my question.
It's been everybody's question. The answer is that he was able to transform into a 1964 Dodge Dart and drive away from the problem. Now, over
the
years,
my first car, the Dodge Dart.
A Dodge Dart. Of course, Bernie Sanders is a man of the people. He's going to transform into a Dodge Dart. It's not going to be a Lambo or something.
I'm just saying I did it.
Yeah. So if he was able to turn into a Dodge Dart in order to get away from the Kennedy assassination, could he not theoretically turn into an aircraft in order to take down the World Trade Center? I say yes.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd never considered it, and now I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, now you.
I should never have voted for him.
Yeah. So these cabalists, including George Soros, J.P. Morgan Trusts, Rockefeller families, the British Crown, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the Bush families, and many others have wished to keep the funds from the world to enslave the people. In 2020, when Donald Trump placed the Fed underneath the Treasury, as I mentioned above, he required the Fed to take on debt from companies struggling through the fake proliferation of the coronavirus. The president was defunding them at an alarming rate for economists who relied on the reliability of the Fed for money flow and reduction of debt in our economy. Okay, so I guess he's saying that Trump was defunding the cabal by crashing the U.S. economy, and that was a good thing because that would force the release of all of the funds that were supposed to be given, and that would force them to institute Nesara, which will wipe everybody's debts and give everybody all of the money from this general fund, which. It's funny to me because I know if you were to try to sit down with any of the people who believe this and tell them like, hey, you know, money's not real. Like it's a concept that we have in order to like embody value. And we don't have to repay these debts. We could work out a system whereby people got a basic income. Like it's possible to do that. Like you don't have to treat this like they would not be in favor. I'd be willing to bet of a basic income that would just give people money for existing that would be enough for them to at least pay for their food and rent, but they
didn't earn that money. Okay, Robert, they're
but at the same time they think there's $93 quadrillion that we stole from Panama during World War II.
Okay, that's different, Robert. I am entitled to that money.
It's very frustrating. Because clearly all of these people want basic income. They want there to be a giant pile of fake money that can make their lives easier. And the good news is that that pile of fake money exists. We could just take it from, you know, the trillions of dollars that are stored overseas in places like Panama, actually, like the Panama Papers and shit, made clear exists. Like there is a giant pile of money that shouldn't belong to the people who have access to it. And that they do things like
offshore account,
offshore account. And they do. There are conspiracies to keep it hidden. When the Panama Papers got released, they killed a journalist reporting on it with a car bomb. Like,
yep.
But nobody wants to believe that because probably some of the rich people benefiting from it, like Donald Trump, are people they like. And because it's much easier to just think that the devil's trying to keep the money from them.
And that makes me sad. It's more fun to bring pedophilia into a fake thing than to just read the actual evidence from a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me sad too, Robert.
Yeah, that makes me sad. So, I don't know. There's more of this nonsense. I don't think we need to get into it. I think we get the gist of this. And I don't really think much has changed with Nesara and Jesara since 2004. It's just that I think the slump in Nesara's popularity after the invasion of Iraq was kind of an artifact of a time when there was still an element to which reality mattered in 2004. Everyone got themselves psyched up that the invasion was going to be stopped and Bush was going to be taken out. And when he didn't, they stopped. A lot of people stopped believing the conspiracy theory because the thing that had existed to stop had stopped. We don't live in that world anymore. QAnon is doing just fine, I think, even though Trump has lost re-election and isn't the president anymore. It just has adapted. And I guess that's pretty bleak, too.
Yes, it is.
So that's going to do it for us this episode. I do want to apologize to everybody for the book episodes, which are slapdash and just evidence of me being a hack and a fraud, but...
Your mom has cancer. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and they got an hour and a half of researched free content this week. They could deal with the 45 minutes of us going through a book and yucking it up, right? Motherfuckers.
Definitely. And if they don't, I will literally take all of your guns.
Well, no.
I'm not going to say what I'm going to do with them. But just beware. And I'll return them afterwards.
Oh, okay. Well, I do like having a gun with a dangerous criminal history.
Yeah, also, if anybody wants to send me knives, I now have a P.O. box.
Oh, shit, what's your P.O. box? I bet you'll get at least one knife if you plug your P.O. box on air.
I'm gonna. I would fucking love that. Okay, hold on.
You gotta find your P.O. box. I got my new knives right here. Oh, this one. Look at that. Look at that texture. I love a good knife. When I think about the fact that the death of truth has hit a terminal level that is likely irreversible... and seems to be trending inevitably towards mass violence. Nothing helps me get out of a funk like getting a really nice handmade knife and then staring at it while drinking in the dark for hours.
I mean, some people might find that troubling, not me. I love it.
Thank you, Sophia. Thank you. That's why we're friends.
Okay. And my P.O. box number is 641-914.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And then the address is 11270 Exposition Boulevard, LA, California, 90064.
Hell yeah. So there it is. And I think the only people listening through this slapdash episode at this point are going to be the true fans. So I assume, you know, no one will send you anything dangerous other than the knives you've requested.
Yeah, and also just remember, put a happy face, so I know the knife is coming from a good place.
Yeah,
and don't hate me.
A happy face so she doesn't mistake it for the knives that are death threats.
Exactly. Just so I know it's a happy knife coming from a good place.
It is one of the odd things about this reoccurring knife bit, which isn't a bit. I am constantly surrounded with knives. I love them. Is people keep offering and sending me knives. One guy sent me a box of like 30 knives that it, this is a, I'll do a photo thread about them on Twitter or something. The way he framed it is his grandpa went senile in his old age and would just order dozens of terrible knives from the Bud K catalog, which are like the shittiest knives in the world meant for high school kids. And when he died, there were thousands of trash knives in the, and they sold all of the ones that they could. And they had a box of a couple of dozen of the very worst knives that no, like they could not sell. And he was like, so we sent them to you. And so
that's, I have so funny,
an enormous collection of the dumbest knives ever invented. One is a beautiful, it's like a folding knife, like a pocket knife, but it's like a foot and a half long, and it's got it like you shake it and it'll like wobble open with these giant blades. It's very poorly made, and on both sides of the knife is a beautiful drawing of a big titted angel. It's my favorite thing in the world. I love the big titted angel knife.
The only angels I believe in, in are ones with huge titties.
Yeah, and she's got two swords too, which is pretty rad. You know?
That's fucking awesome.
So, I guess after roughly 2 hours and change of talking about how the world is trending inevitably towards an era where truth is not only dead, but falsehood is effectively weaponized to lead to mass violence, the only thing I can ask of all of you is to be the big-titted angel you want to see in the world, wielding two knives.
You know, I was already way ahead of you on that one. Yeah, I know. I've been a big-titted angel since the day I turned 13.
Well, that's going to do it for us here at Behind the Bastards. Thank you for putting up with another book episode. We'll be back next week with something that I didn't just cobble together out of laziness.
And before we end here, Sophia, do you have any pluggables you want to plug for the listeners of this fine podcast?
Thanks so much. I would love it if you guys bought my comedy album, Father's Day.
Delightful.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheSophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A. And check out my podcasts, Private Parts Unknown and 420 Day Fiancé with Miles Gray.
Awesome. Check that out. That's the podcast.
Thanks, bye.